Are you curious about bodies, pleasure, and possibilities? And what about curious about what others are up to on the planet when it comes to pleasure, sex, and play? Have you considered what pleasure can do for your life, your body, and your bank account? Do you know something magical, delightful, and out of this world orgasmic is not only possible for you, but totally available to you? If you're ready to be the magical, sexual, sexy beast you know you can be, and you just need the tools to get there, you're in the right place. Now, here is the host of The Pleasure Zone, sex, relationship, and intimacy coach, and holistic health practitioner, Milica Jelinic.
Welcome, my sweet pleasure seekers. Tonight, we are going to have a little conversation about trauma, of course, because you can't really have the pleasure till we talk about the trauma. But this one is actually especially dedicated to the fact that probably most people don't even realize they've got some trauma lingering for a very long time. This episode's been named, it was a collaborative naming, called Marinating in Your Trauma Womb. And that is something that does happen to most people. It's very rare that you'll find that a fetus is marinating somewhere in a womb that does not have some kind of level of trauma from either childhood stuff, sexual trauma, or even injurious traumas. You never know. There's different ways you can have a trauma to the womb. So we're talking about that today. I think about it as like if you stuck, say, a seed, right? Because essentially as a fetus, you're kind of like a seed. If you stuck a seed into a bunch of toxicity, the chances are it's not going to grow or grow well, right? So there may be certain genetic mutations that happen, certain things that might not make it the most healthy plant. It might struggle to thrive. And so as much as there can be physical toxicity as well in the womb, this trauma, there is a bit of a biochemical toxicity that happens because of some enzymes that, cross over the barrier, some other things that can cross over during trauma over the placental barrier. There's a bunch of things that I would say are trauma. And there's actually research now that backs this, that shows that little fetuses in there, little developing babies actually can have and take on the trauma of the womb that they are growing in. So we're talking about that today. It was like a topic that came up. I think I was talking to some random people this week about like trauma from early childhood. I'm not sure. There was an inspiration. It happened. And then my friend helped me develop the title. So yay, because sometimes it's a last minute string of thoughts. So this title came up a few days ago. It was a very fast and furious thought on this one. And we're moving forward on it. So if you're new to this show, which I hope you're not, I hope this is not like the first time you're seeing the show or listening to the show, but maybe it is. Maybe this is your very first experience of listening to The Pleasure Zone. And cool, maybe you're listening live. Maybe you're listening in podcast form because it does go out live every Monday at 8 p.m. EST. And if you are listening to it somewhere on podcast form, I would love if you like, share, comment wherever you can, 5-star review if you're loving it. Any kind of interaction is fantastic. I love that. So coming up soon, in 1 month from now, 1 month to the day, I believe, is going to be the 12th anniversary of The Pleasure Zone. So I began the show in 2014. And it's hard to believe and hard to imagine that me, who thought I might have 6 or 8 shows under my belt and thought, well, I'll try this, I'll give it a try, just kept creating. And there were times of resistance, kids. And then I had some really amazing help getting myself back on track. And I'm so glad that I did, because I found that it made me dig deeper, research more, find out more, expand my horizons, expand my repertoire, And that's something amazing about the pleasure zone for me is it's always getting me to research. And so this particular episode, I dug into some research. And so we're going to be talking about that. The research that I found is from the Oregon Health and Science University. In case you guys are looking for where is this referencing coming from, we will be talking about how different things like fears, anxieties, and stress responses can actually go right through from the mother, right through the placenta into the fetus. It's kind of crazy. We're going to start by looking at how stress hormones cross the placenta. And one of the reasons I want to say why we're talking about this is because I do have so many people who will come in and they're like, I don't have any trauma. I'm like, your body says otherwise. And sometimes it's looking at, and when I say come in, I mean as a holistic health practitioner. And as a sex and intimacy coach, I have people either physically come in to see me, or often I have Zoom distance sessions. So when people actually engage with my services, I find that people are not necessarily aware of the level of trauma that their body has been basically struggling with. Could be since in utero. Could be. And sometimes people are like, well, nothing ever bad happened to me. I'm like, okay, do you know anything about like your birth experience? Oh, yeah, my birth experience was terrible. My mom almost died. I almost died. My mom fell down the stairs when she was pregnant with me, and then she was on bed rest. And like you get these stories, and you're like, oh, okay, so you actually did have trauma. You had trauma to the point where it ran right through your body, and that became your normal. Because you've had that in your body your entire life, you don't actually probably know the difference. You don't actually know what it's like to be calm and to not have the trauma running through your body. And you don't know what it's like not to actually have your nervous system be calm. So you're either on fight or flight, or your body's gone to freeze. Either way, you could be, being sympathetic dominant or parasympathetic dominant, and your body does not know what to do with that. So we're going to be talking and exploring about how trauma can be transmitted via in utero, and also how a mother's physical, emotional health, as well as environmental experiences during pregnancy can influence the nervous system of the unborn baby. So that could have been you in utero. It could be if you are carrying a baby or had a child, this could be a lot of the explanation of what could be going on with you or if you're listening and you've carried a child, it could be whoever you carried. So we're going to be looking at things like epigenetics, developmental psychology, neuroscience, and a bunch of other things through this work today. But I think it's really key and important to just simplify it as simple as I can, which is why I use the reference of the seed being planted into if you're trying to germinate a seed in something toxic, it's going to struggle. So if we're trying to germinate a baby, a zygote inside of something that's completely toxic emotionally, physically, all these other things going on, then it's going to be a really hard developmental journey to growth. So let's kind of just track it back to like what's going on with, when a pregnant mother, when the pregnancy is occurring, what happens? So things like chronic stress, anxiety, or trauma, any kind of elevated levels of stress hormones like cortisol can actually cross the placenta and reach the developing fetus. I find that a lot of people do not either know that, or if they've heard it, they don't believe it. They're like, no, it's like a protection barrier. It's not. It's kind of actually like, it just travels through the waters, right? It's like a frequency that travels through the waters. And it's actually more like a chemical, right? Because hormones are chemicals. So it travels through, and the hormones will then shape things like the baby's stress response. And it will shape things like the baby having maybe heightened sensitivity to stress later in life. So if you have carried a child and you're like, oh, wow, I was so incredibly stressed during that pregnancy, No wonder my child has a hard time navigating or managing stress. And maybe you still have a hard time navigating or managing stress. What this might help you do is find maybe more empathy for the person that, is the child who has the stress and all this distress. And I've seen it. I've worked in schools as a, in Canada, we call it a supply teacher. And in the US, I think they call them, they're like whatever. Anyway, substitute teacher. So I've worked in schools and I've seen the, the kids who have an absolutely difficult time navigating stress, any kind of stress, whether it's noises or sounds or smells, people being asked to do things. And if these kids have had stress from day one and they've never known any different, how can we possibly expect them to be able to just find a way to regulate yourself, kids? Well, they don't even realize they're dysregulated. They're just frustrated and they don't realize there's a problem. Most of the time, the parents are so stressed that that is just a normal energy in the house. So the parents don't even realize that there's a problem either. So to me, the question would be to ask, to yourself, just ask yourselves, like, do you feel as if you were in a womb that had some kind of level of trauma or stress? I feel like I did because at the time when my mom was carrying me, my parents had gone through like a separation. My mom was financially like strapped completely, like stressed financially. She had my brother who was just a little bit older than me, like, oh, just over a year older. She's not having a good time. She was definitely not planning to have me. Were expecting to have me. She was going through like the separation with my dad temporarily, then got back with him, and it was like really not what she was probably looking for. And she kept me anyway, but I'm sure that somewhere along the way, and I'll talk about this a little bit after, I'm sure along the way, part of what happened was that the separation from my dad at the time also created for me a separation anxiety, but also for me, the stress that my mom had, just the debate of how am I going to raise this child? Can I raise this child? She never said that she was going to like abort me or something, but there is that feeling of separation that can happen. So for a very long time in my life, I had a thing where I felt like maybe I wasn't wanted. And I was like, and then I would go to therapy about it and I'd do like regressions into the womb and try and like feel the feels and, recreate the birthing experience, which is traumatizing. It wasn't fun or pleasant for some people. Like, I just want to be reborn. It's not nothing. There was nothing pleasant about it. Also, my mom was injured by a nurse when I was born, so that added, like, in the midst of birthing me, a nurse physically injured her purposefully, like yanked her leg out of the socket. So that would add to the stress and pain as I'm like being birthed, right? So there's a whole lot of things that can be chaos that you don't really think about. And all those things, every single one of those things crosses the placental barrier. And every single one of those things affects the fetus. So, as parents, you're going through that stress. The only thing you can really learn to do, say if you're pregnant right now, learn to self-regulate, get different things in your life like meditation and things that can help you regulate. There are ways, and we will talk about some methods for that. But just know that things like cortisol absolutely cross the placenta. So if you're in shock and you're carrying a child, that child is in shock. It's not a one and only thing. You're not protecting the baby somehow. The baby's feeling what you feel. And I'd had a talk with my dad about that specifically because he said something to me about my child and he was like, oh, Ziva doesn't like me because of such and such. I said, no, I think Ziva doesn't like you because Ziva's very aware of how you treated me when I was pregnant with Ziva. And he's like, what? I'm like, let me take you back. And then I explained it to him. He was Actually, he's like, he was apologetic. He didn't realize the impact. I said, yes. And you think that's going to change? You think Ziva's not going to feel that and not going to know who said that and felt that and did that? Of course. It's going to take a long time for forgiveness on that, on what you said and did. And so just know it crosses that barrier. So if you have that stress and you're thinking, oh, you know, maybe that came from your parents, and then if you've had children, then maybe you're crossing that too. I'm actually going to see if there's research on how the sperm affects the child too. I do know it for the first 3 months has a massive effect, and I'm sure the cortisol levels at the time of impregnation, or even just slightly prior to that, have an effect. But we'll check that out another time. For now, we're talking about the trauma womb, and we're really talking about how we end up marinating in a trauma womb. So when we come back, we're going to talk more about that. You're listening to the Pleasure Zone here on Inspired Choices Network, and we'll be right back after this commercial.
Are you secretly a voyeur, wondering what's going on in other people's sex lives? What if now is the time for a totally different sexual evolution? Are you interested in people who are pioneers of different sexual and pleasurable practices? Lean in now with Milica Jelenic, where she will entice you and your body to know your own pleasure zone. On the Pleasure Zone radio show with sex, relationship, and intimacy coach, Milica Jelenic, you'll receive tools, inspiration, and a foundation to allow yourself to receive more in your sex life, and quite possibly other areas of your life as well. Listen for the Pleasure Zone with Milica every Monday at 8 p.m. Eastern Time, 7 p.m. Central Time, 6 p.m. Mountain Time, and 5 p.m. Pacific Time on InspiredChoicesNetwork.com.
Are you a subject matter expert? Are you here to share your expertise with an audience waiting to hear from you in only the way you can deliver? Are you ready to have your voice amplified across the airwaves? Inspired Choices Network has a global radio platform streaming to millions of people across the world. Professionally produced and supported by an accomplished team every step of the way, you can broadcast from anywhere in the world, knowing your voice matters, and we ensure it is delivered with ease and efficiency. Eager to hear your message, the world awaits. Contact us today to become an Inspired Choices Network radio host. Email becomeahost@inspiredchoicesnetwork.com.
This is the Pleasure Zone with sex, relationship, and intimacy coach, Milica Jelenic. To participate in the program today, join our live studio audience in our chat room at inspiredchoicesnetwork.com. You can also make the choice to ask or comment by email, info@milicajelenic.com. Now, back to the program.
Welcome back, my sweet pleasure seekers. On the last segment, we were talking about how stress hormones like cortisol cross the placenta. The thing about bodies is that under normal circumstances, there is a protection that can occur. However, under like extreme situations, the body runs out of the enzyme that starts to break down that. So the enzyme, from the research I got, is called 11-beta-HSD2, which converts active cortisol into inactive cortisone. So if it's working, then it will block the baby from having all the stress. However, there can be a bit of a breakdown under extreme or chronic stress. And I would say that nowadays, most people are under chronic stress for different reasons, financial, emotional, maybe they're in abusive relationships. I haven't met a lot of people in the last 4 or 5 years that are not in chronic stress or under kind of some kind of chronic abuse or chronic stress situation, which a chronic abuse would lead to chronic stress for sure. And so I think that's unfortunately common. Is it normal? No, it's common. So the chances are that most people have had cortisone cross the placental barrier. Chances are most people have had that affect their development. So If that enzyme, the 11 beta HSD2, does convert that to an inactive cortisone, then there's relatively the whole transition of everything is relatively safe. The one thing that can happen, though, is that if it does kick in, that will actually start to allow more active cortisol. If a little bit gets through, what it does is it allows more active cortisol to cross the placental barrier. So there are different things that will try to start to help the baby as well. And the body's pretty smart that way, but the chances are that chronic stress is going to just have your body bring up everything. Bring up all the defense mechanisms possible. And even at that rate, it might not be able to stop everything from going through the placenta. So chances are your baby has some kind of level of stress, pretty high chances. And then there's something called epigenetic changes. And so when there is all this crossing of the cortisol and the stress hormones, it can leave what's called epigenetic marks on genes. It's not necessarily going to completely change the genetics completely, but it'll alter how the baby's genes function. So it's not going to change the underlying genes. It's not going to make you, say, all of a sudden have completely different genetics, but it can change how the genes function. And by that, it's like it can get things inactive. It can get certain things not functioning completely properly. It can also alter development of the baby's brain, and it can alter the way that the baby is able to later in life respond to stresses. So if you've had like your adrenal, your thyroid, your hypothalamus connection on, basically on firing for you to be on fight or flight since the second you were conceived, can you imagine how much stress your entire body is going through? And you might have been under that extreme stress for so long you don't even realize you're under it. And it comes to a point where your body has been so stressed, you can end up with chronic conditions that are inexplicable. People will try and find out why, and then they'll just be like, you have an autoimmune disorder. And you're like, but I don't understand why. And to you, you might not even look remotely stressed. You're like, I'm managing life, I'm getting through. But other people who maybe have seen stress might be looking at you going, holy Hannah, your body is in like a stress bundle. So yeah, sometimes our own interpretations of ourselves is like, no, I'm doing great. Meanwhile, you're like, I'm jittery and like can't sleep and having like spurts of diarrhea and like weird things are happening because your body is just like having a really hard time regulating and functioning. So if your body has been on high stress your entire existence from the time you were basically formed, those two cells came together, a little zygote. Since that very time of you being conceived, you've had stress in there. What do you think might happen to you as a developing baby, and then as a developing fetus, and then as a baby after your birth, and then there's a one-year-old, then a two-year-old, and a three, and a five-year-old, and that stress is still there. And the stress is in the air because maybe it hasn't changed in the house either. And you've never been taught how to regulate it because this is the normal in your home. How hypervigilant do you think you might be? How much anxiety do you think you might have on a constant basis? How much reactivity do you think you might have emotionally? Like things just make you want to cry or yell or punch things. How much do you think that might affect you? A lot, right? I hope your answer was a lot because I'm going with a lot. So what do we need to do? And I know I talk about regulating your nervous system a lot. What I do talk about too, though, is giving you the simplest, most basic tools. How do you regulate your nervous system? You start to tell it that you're safe. If you're safe. So literally look around your room. Use all of your senses. Use your eyes, use your ears, use every sense for you that works. You know, stick your tongue out and taste. Does it taste like there's anything chemical in the air that is like dangerous? Smell, like, is there smoke around? Is there anything that could like put you in a danger zone? Check. Use all your senses. Check everything. And if everything seems decent and like there's no bears coming after you and there's no fire in the room and there's no like massive chemical spill that's just happened on your head, then take a deep breath in. For five, through your nose and breathe out for five, through your mouth. Look around and remind yourself, I am safe. I'm safe. And the more you remind yourself, the more your brain is going to start to know, oh, wait a second, I'm safe. Oh, cool. You can also do a breathing where you breathe in and you do breath holds. You breathe in, say for four, hold for four, out for eight, or breathe in for three, hold for three, out for six. You can do either kind of those. It's really learning how to get that diaphragm moving, get your belly expanding, get as much air in as possible, expand the lungs, remind your body to breathe, that it's okay to be alive, and then breathe out. Breathe in. Yeah, you can go exaggerated and you can make noises, like relaxation noises on the way out. And then just like a sigh out. When your body hears and feels a sigh, it will start to relax. Even when you're in the most intensely stressed out time that you're going through. I had a very stressful week, and it wasn't even things that have to do with my own personal life. It's navigating things for somebody else who can't navigate their own problems due to age. I've had to do a lot of breathing this week. I've had to collect my thoughts and think and breathe and let myself cry when I needed to and not judge myself for it and be like, okay, now's the time to cry. Just, and it's okay. And then get back to the breathing and self-regulate. Sometimes we just need a good cry to move things out. So if you were born into a body that, you know, the person was crying all the time, all the, like every day of while they were pregnant with you, the chances are your body is going to have all those very, not those happy hormones kicking in, but a lot of things that would keep you feeling depressed. So sometimes just know that as much as you're like, I don't know why I'm depressed, you might have been depressed for since in utero. And this maybe now is the time to change it. So we're going to do the breath work. I personally love to move in order to get stress out of my body as well. So breathing, movement. I've gotten back into Serbian folklore, Balkan folklore, dancing. And it's so good, not only just for jumping, getting like your body to get all your lymphatics moving and draining, but also such a great stress reliever, because by the end of it, you've been jumping for so long, basically like hopping a lot and kicking and doing things, that you get tired, really freaking tired, and you burn the cortisol. So that stress level will reduce just allowing yourself to move it through your body. Sometimes it's a walk, a brisk walk will get that going too. Just know that it does take an action, like breathing or walking. It's not going to disappear on its own. The chances are it will probably elevate. Your brain might go into a cycle of thought where you're just like, shut up, brain, and your brain won't shut up. So you need to almost exhaust it to do that. And sometimes you got to talk about stuff and talk about it to somebody who can help you find solutions. So there's one thing talking to a friend about it. If your friends happen to be coaches, even better. because they can often find tools. If your friends happen to be, somebody who has some kind of experience in a field that is helpful, in terms of like therapeutic fields, even better. Just remember to get yourself into that feeling of safety. So check out your environment. Am I safe? Cool, I can breathe. Okay, cool. And then reconnect. Feel your body through breath, through movement, walking, any of those things, right? So those are key. We're going to move on to the next segment. And before we do, we're going to head to commercial break. You're listening to The Pleasure Zone here on Inspired Choices Network, and we'll be right back after this commercial.
Are you secretly a voyeur, wondering what's going on in other people's sex lives? What if now is the time for a totally different sexual evolution? Are you interested in people who are pioneers of different sexual and pleasurable practices? Lean in now with Milica Jelinic, where she will entice you and your body to know your own pleasure zone. On the Pleasure Zone radio show with sex, relationship, and intimacy coach, Milica Jelinic, you'll receive tools, inspiration, and a foundation to allow yourself to receive more in your sex life, and quite possibly other areas of your life as well. Listen for The Pleasure Zone with Milica every Monday at 8 p.m. Eastern Time, 7 p.m. Central Time, 6 p.m. Mountain Time, and 5 p.m. Pacific Time on InspiredChoicesNetwork.com.
How wonderful would it be to carry your favorite Inspired Choices Network host with you throughout your day? Well, now you can. Inspired Choices Network now has its very own mobile app. Our free app offers live streaming shows, along with thousands of podcasts and TV episodes. Our shows cover a wide variety of topics. Whether you're waking up with us, carrying us through the day, and taking us to bed with you, we're always here for you to enjoy. We're easy to find. Just search for Inspired Choices Network in the Apple App Store or Google Play Store.
This is The Pleasure Zone with sex, relationship, and intimacy coach, Milica Jelinic. To participate in the program today, join our live studio audience in our chat room at InspiredChoicesNetwork.com. You can also make the choice to ask or comment by email, info@MilicaJelinic.com. Now, back to the program.
Welcome back, my sweet pleasure seekers. Today we're talking about how trauma can actually be passed on through the womb. So this one's called Marinating in Your Trauma Womb. And because most of us have marinated in a trauma womb, one of the things that I was about to talk about has to do with the epigenetic programming. And then I realized how many people might think, what is that word and what does it even mean? So here is an explanation of epigenetics. It's the study of how your behaviors and environment can cause changes that affect the way your genes work. They're not genetic mutations. They are epigenetic changes that don't actually alter in any way. Like, they're not going to reprogram your DNA sequence. Instead, they kind of act like switches. They might turn things off or turn things on. So if you've been marinating in a trauma womb, certain things will be turned off or turned on. And we don't really know or cannot necessarily predict what's going to be turned off or on. And for every person who's been marinating in a trauma womb, different things, like different cells, might have been affected. Like a brain cell might get affected by one epigenetic response. Another might be that your liver gets affected. So it can be different body parts. And one of the things in that research that I was talking about from was the Oregon, blah, 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 Oregon, let me look at that. The Oregon Health and Science University, OHSU. From the OHSU, the research in epigenetics shows that environmental experience can influence how genes are expressed without changing the actual genetic code. So for Things like trauma from the mama. That rhymes, right? Trauma from your mama. And things like chronic stress from your mama, or different things like adverse experiences. You might have even had, you know, where sometimes women have to go on bed rest because there's different things going on where, you know, baby might be trying to abort itself or something. So you might be in the midst of having a miscarriage, and there can be different things that could be causing a lot of issues, and all those different stresses are going to affect, chances are high that they're going to affect gene expression. And so that is going to, in the long term, it's going to affect how the individual that was marinating in that, how they respond to things like stress, how they can regulate their nervous system. It's going to show things like immune, their ability to have a high immunity or not. So in other words, having like autoimmune issues, and even things like emotional resilience. If you've been marinating in stress since the day you were created, the chances are you're not going to know how to regulate stress. The chances are your immune system is going to be shot, because you know what happens when your body is under fight or flight or in freeze? It just wants to survive, so it doesn't thrive. Having a good immune function means you're thriving. Having a poopy immune function, like an autoimmune condition, is when your body is having a struggle to thrive. It's actually having a struggle to survive. So getting the stress hormones like cortisol reduced, super important. Increasing your immunity is really important. And we'll talk about like how, you know, how do you actually resolve any of this, right? So I did talk about in the last segment how, you know, learning to breathe, get yourself connected to your body, all those things are going to be great tips and tools on a day-to-day basis. And then for like long-term things, in terms of like creating better immunity and having more emotional resilience and learning how to have stress regulation, sometimes you need a coach. Sometimes you need a coach like me who does holistic health practices. Sometimes you need nutritional coaches. Sometimes you need a life coach or a business coach. It's the thing, whatever it is that you are struggling with, you might need somebody on your side to help you navigate that. Because when people try and do it alone, it doesn't work. It just doesn't. Oftentimes, nobody does it alone, for one. People try. The more they push people away, the less successful they are. It's just what happens. So when we go through all of that, and we've been having been marinating in all that stuff in the trauma womb, we end up having certain emotional patterns. Like if you've been marinating in sadness since the very second you were created, you might have a pattern of sadness that comes into your life. You might have more susceptibility to anxiety, like I mentioned in the last segment, or even things like depression and things like inherited family trauma responses. So there's actually a body of work called Family Constellations, and it's an amazing body of work on working through epigenetic trauma. So if you are looking for certain specific modalities, EMDR is great for that as well as family constellations, which is something that I've been learning. I took a little break from, but I've been learning it over the last year or two. So those are great, great methods. Also, sometimes just having a change of life, right? So whether it's change your diet, change your routine, change lots of things. Maybe you need some emotional healing going on. Sometimes it's just having like somatic sound work. I absolutely love sound work. And when I first started my healing process, I went for healing sessions every week, and they were hands-on energy work, but also I did a lot of somatic sounding, which was fantastic in helping me get to the core root issues. The sound would help me get right into my body and then find out what was going on. And because I loved it so much, I ended up training in it at the time. So it is something that I don't like announce all over my pages that I do that, but it is something that is part of my work. So I also do somatic body work, and that can help move trauma out that's been lingering. You can often see trauma in people's body postures, you know, and there's a lot of shame that comes in with people when they are like curling their shoulders and head down, and you can see a lot of different things in posture alone. So improving your posture as well can really help to move out some of that trauma, so you're not holding the stance of I'm depressed, and you're not holding the stance of I'm in shame. You can move all that out, because the shame too crosses the barrier. It's not a happy hormone, right? That it's a different hormone that comes through with shame, and that can cross those barriers as well. So, if you actually sat down and looked at the ingredients of what you've been marinating in, that might be a fun exercise. It's like, what ingredients, feelings, emotions, thoughts do you feel you were marinating in when you were in utero? And then it's to flip it and start to find ways to get out of that. Like, if you're feeling stuck, one of the best things to do is start moving. And if you have mobility issues, start moving whatever you can move. If the only thing you can do is blink your eyes, then blink your eyes. Blink your eyes as much as you can. Get yourself into the pattern of I choose to move. I choose to have movement. I choose to have fluid movement, and move your eyes if that's the only thing you can do. Your body eventually will start to kick in. It reminds me of Kill Bill. When I can't remember what her name was, the one on the rampage to Kill Bill. And she's like in the hospital. She gets herself out of the hospital bed, gets herself into a wheelchair, and she's like sitting in the dude's truck, and she's willing her toes to move. She's like, come on, toe, move, move, move. Right. And she, a little bit at a time, she gets herself moving. So what I know is our minds are that powerful. We can actually do that. Yes, it's a movie, but that's actually a possibility as well. So movement. And then learning how to consciously parent yourself first, and then consciously parent your child. So what does that mean? So conscious parenting, it's not necessarily about perfection. It's always about learning more, for one, learning more about yourself, so that you can be able to be more present for your child. And then conscious parenting also has a curiosity aspect to it, where you actually want to know about who they are as an individual, and not try to turn them into mini versions of you. Even though people are always telling me, oh my God, Ziva's so much like you, I'm like, I certainly hope not. Like, I certainly hope Ziva's 100% Ziva. So conscious parenting will. There are so many tools. It's like where you actually become more of a facilitator of your child rather than the matron, or, you know, the rule bearer. You have a different take on parenting. So consciously parent yourself, so that you can consciously parent the children that you either had or might be having. And then find some support systems, right? So that you can become more resilient. And then you can actually feel better about life. All kinds of things to help, you know, reduce your stress through activities, exercise, nutrition. You know, you don't want to be drinking 25 coffees a day and then wonder why your cortisol and your adrenaline are spiking. Well, your cortisol and adrenaline are spiking because you're spiking them with coffee. So if you're doing things that are counterintuitive to the process of your body actually, you know, regulating, and you're like, I'm doing everything. Well, what are you actually doing? Because the question to me would be, if you're doing all the things, like you're doing breath work, you're eating things that aren't going to spike you, well, there's something you're doing that's continuing that. And usually there's that little hidden secret that people don't really want to talk about that they're doing, that keeps them in stress zone permanently until they choose different, because it does take choice and action. We're going to kind of wrap this up in the next segment, and we're going to be talking about how the developing nervous system reacts to the environment, and we're going to look at how emotional states can actually shape your early attachment patterns, but also your attachment style. We've talked about attachment styles on here before. We're not going to dive into too many names of attachment styles, just so you can get the gist of what's going on there. So you're listening to The Pleasure Zone here on Inspired Choices Network, and we'll be right back after this commercial.
Are you secretly a voyeur, wondering what's going on in other people's sex lives? What if now is the time for a totally different sexual evolution? Are you interested in people who are pioneers of different sexual and pleasurable practices? Lean in now with Milica Jelinic, where she will entice you and your body to know your own pleasure zone. On the Pleasure Zone radio show with sex, relationship, and intimacy coach, Milica Jelinic, you'll receive tools, inspiration, and a foundation to allow yourself to receive more in your sex life, and quite possibly other areas of your life as well. Listen for The Pleasure Zone with Milica every Monday at 8 p.m. Eastern Time, 7 p.m. Central Time, 6 p.m. Mountain Time, and 5 p.m. Pacific Time on InspiredChoicesNetwork.com. This is The Pleasure Zone with sex, relationship, and intimacy coach, Milica Jelinic. To participate in the program today, join our live studio audience in our chat room at InspiredChoicesNetwork.com. You can also make the choice to ask or comment by email, info@MilicaJelinic.com. Now, back to the program.
Welcome back, my sweet pleasure seekers. Tonight, we're talking about how we tend to be marinating in a trauma womb when we are developing. It is a very... I think it's a very understudied and overlooked thing, right? So I think we just took for granted that the mother's womb is a safe space. We figured that the placental barrier must be magical and that nothing bad can cross it. But that's not true. We know that. And we know from the different studies that have been done. But guess what? Some people knew that intuitively before the studies were done. What? We actually knew that? We knew that intuitively? What? Yeah, that happens. I remember knowing that intuitively, and that was years before this study came out from Oregon Health Studies. That I knew because I could feel the connection. And that's not because I'm so psychic. It's because I think everybody who pays attention and wants to pay attention and wants to connect will sense and know that. So I remember this like super stressful scenarios happening and just thinking, wow, I am so sorry to you that I'm, that's developing in my body. I'm so sorry to you for having to bear witness to this bullshit and to experience this. Like, I think I spent a lot of time apologizing and I had some experience. Like, I knew how to do somatic body work at the time, so I was getting that done. I was doing breath work. I was doing a few things to really help myself get to heal. But at the same time, there was such an immense amount of stress. I'm absolutely positive that stress and that cortisol passed on, because I could see the stress reaction in Ziva when Ziva was an infant, and just things like hyper alert all the time. That baby who hardly sleeps is like hyper aware, hyper alert, needing constant affirmation and touch connection to know about safety. And so was that through that? Was it just the way Ziva was going to be? Who knows? But I do think that there was an impact. We know that those things crossed the barrier. So did that impact? Probably. And so what happens is when that's going on is that the fetus, if I'm like constantly stressed and I'm carrying Ziva, then Ziva is going to continuously receive all this biochemical information constantly being bombarded at that little fetus, right? And as it's about to enter the world, all of a sudden there's more stress. Now, the crazy part is now, for the most part, people are, well, there's a lot of variety now. I had Ziva in a hospital with midwives. So the midwives tried to create more of a scenario. We tried to do a home birth, but that didn't work. There was an emergency situation. So we needed the hospital for the emergency. And the whole, and also because of the distance from where I live to a hospital, it was like a regulation situation. So in the hospital, I like go into labor at midnight. Ziva's born at 11 a.m. that day, like 11 hours later. But in the meantime, the amount of insanity going on between the terrible lighting in the hospital, to the noises, to the other people yelling, having babies, to the person who impregnated me being so utterly self-absorbed that it was all about him, and how hungry he was and how tired he was, and shut up, all of that shit. So that can be stressful, a wee bit stressful. And does that pass on? Absolutely. So that then is all transferred to the baby. And of course, now baby's in survival mode. Not only is baby in survival mode, baby comes out in survival mode because baby almost died. Baby was like, blood sugars were going crazy, bilirubin was crazy. You know, the baby, because Ziva wasn't named yet, had blood sugars that were 0.9, and that two, blood when your blood sugar's at 2.5, you're usually in a diabetic coma. So the fact that Ziva was even remotely like eyes open and alert was crazy. So chaos, absolute chaos going on. So and baby in survival mode survived. It was intense. It was ICU unit. It was intense. And so, you know, how and why did all that stuff happen? Probably the chronic stress. Probably everything was a chronic stress at that time. Constantly being on edge. So then, you know, having to then like help Ziva through things like learning how to feel safe, learning how to get tension out of the body, learning how that it's okay not to overachieve or be a perfectionist, because Ziva does have overachieving and perfectionism tendencies. And those are some of the things that come in survival mode when those signals have gone off and awry, constantly going off and awry. So if you are an overachiever, if you are a perfectionist, if you do have constant chronic tension and stress in your body, chances are you were marinating in a trauma womb. And some people will be like, but I love being an overachiever. I think everybody else is lazy. Okay, but then there's also a level where you got to see, are you pushing yourself to the point where you're absolutely freaking exhausted and you can't function, because that's not healthy. There's a level of I hit my targets, and then there's a level of I got to keep going, or I and da, 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 or the world's going to explode. No. So what are the solutions? One of them is you can contact me. And you can contact me to either come in person for sessions for somatic body work, which is so helpful for moving that out. Breath work, I also do that. Any kind of restorative yoga. I'm not a teacher of that, but I know lots of teachers of restorative yoga. Learning how to have healthy relationships is helpful as well through the coaching that I do. And just being okay with being in your body. It's like, it's okay to be you. I know it's a surprising thing because a lot of us do not feel like it's okay to be who we are. And a lot of times, our attachments to people can be developing too through those early attachment phases, where we might have the things like fear of abandonment. We might have difficulty trusting others. Why? Oh, why would you have difficulty trusting others if your biological donor, you know, is not available for the one who's carrying you? You know, oh, you have intimacy challenges. Oh, why is that? Oh, because you were saturated in a womb while there was intimacy issues going on. Oh, you have fear of abandonment. Oh, really? Oh, because somebody might have walked away on you and wasn't even helpful. Oh, that's possible. Maybe you've gone into people pleasing because you just want people to love you. Yeah, that's how it affects us. And then we need to learn how to have healthy attachments. So you can do like attachment focused therapy. You can learn
Thank you for
self-compassion.
choosing to listen to The Pleasure Zone with sex, relationship, and intimacy coach, Milica Jelinic. We'll return next Monday at 8 p.m. Eastern Time, 7 p.m. Central, 6 p.m. Mountain Time, and 5 p.m. Pacific on InspiredChoicesNetwork.com. We hope you'll join us. Until then, have the best week of your life by choosing to be turned on and tuned in to your body.